It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, it turns out that financial uncertainty and not being able to count on a steady income is more challenging for America's working families than how much or how little they make. We'll find out why, and we'll ask you to share your experiences.
First, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 22,000 on Wednesday, an all-time high, one that President Trump is taking credit for. He also predicts that the markets will continue to climb.
But when we hear that the Dow is shattering records, what exactly does that mean for the economy? And many point out that Wall Street isn't Main Street. So what are the implications here for average citizens, especially those who may not have money in the markets?
Akani Otani joins us now. She's a reporter for The Wall Street Journal in New York, where she covers the U.S. stock market and investing. Akani, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how big a deal is this number for the Dow Jones crossing the 22,000 threshold for the first time?
It really depends who you ask. A lot of investors and analysts will say, you know, it's just another round number. But I guess the significance is more in sort of the opportunity to reflect on, you know, what brought us here from the last 1,000-point milestone. And in that sense, I think a lot of people have noted there's been a shift in what's been driving the U.S. stock rally recently, where we went from this sort of initial reaction after the election. There was a focus on smaller domestic-focused companies, to more recently a sort of brighter outlook for the global economy and a corresponding outperformance of multinational companies here.
So in terms of what's driving it, are you also saying that it's not necessarily driven by the United States economy, but we're looking at global factors?
Right. So one interesting thing that's happened this year is that the outlook for economic growth outside of the U.S. has actually been improving, while in the U.S. itself, a lot of economists have been saying, you know, we're more likely to see a continuation of sort of slow, steady growth. So we had the IMF last month saying they think that global GDP will come up to something like 3.5% in 2017. And that's been largely stable throughout the year. But in the U.S., the IMF has actually been cutting its forecast for economic growth. Now they're seeing something like 2.1% growth for the year compared to 2.5% one year ago. So there's been a shift in sort of the drivers of economic growth over the last year or so.
And President Trump has been taking credit for the success of the Dow, and some he's been pointing out that the Dow has been up for 20% since November's presidential election. But is that fair for the president to claim success?
Is it fair? I mean, I think some people might say he might not necessarily want to do that. We crunched the data a while ago, and we found I think the president who saw the fastest 20% rise following his election in the stock market was Herbert Hoover. And back in 1928, it only took 63 days for stocks to rise 20%. And then we fell into the Great Depression. So it really, you know, things can change. The economy you inherit is not necessarily the economy that you'll finish out your term with. And so it's hard to take credit for something as massive as the stock market.
Is there something, though, to optimism in the United States about markets and investors feeling bullish about the U.S. economy, and some of that having to do with who's in the White House?
People would argue that the term that some people use on Wall Street is animal spirits, and some people were arguing after the election that we were seeing sort of a boost in sentiment, and we saw some measures of confidence among consumers and small businesses picking up after November, as some people were hoping that we were going to see tax cuts and deregulation, and perhaps that would boost profits at companies. But a lot of these so-called Trump trades, things that responded to this initial shift in sentiment, have reversed course since the start of the year. Things like the dollar, the performance of stocks of small companies and government bonds as well. So I think now a lot of the folks that we've been talking to say it's really going to be about corporate earnings and how that comes in, and also if we will continue to see global growth pick up. And that will really be more important in determining the course of the stock market.
And going back to something you said at the beginning, you said the term animal spirits. I haven't heard that before. What does that refer to?
It's just this sort of vague term for the confidence or sentiment that might be driving some of these stock market. So it's not necessarily something that you can measure, and you know, not everyone's going to agree exactly on the scale to which it might be playing a role in the stock market's performance. But in the couple months after the election, there were quite a few people arguing that some of the gains that we saw in the U.S. stock market were coming from improved sentiment.
We're talking with Akani Otani right now about the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossing the 22,000 threshold for the very first time, and what it means for the economy and also for you. And I want to ask you, Akani, is this good news for everybody? Is this good news, for example, for Main Street, for someone who doesn't have a stake in a multinational corporation? Is this for everybody, or is this for people in specific financial sectors?
Well, I think that's been the big question throughout this long stock market rally we've been observing, you know, since the financial crisis. Not everybody has participated, and if you are an individual investor and you haven't put any money into the stock market, and now you're seeing the Dow just hit 22,000, a lot of people are saying it's kind of hard to do anything about it, almost. By a variety of measures, the stock market looks expensive compared to where it was trading 10 or so years ago, and that's making it difficult for people who haven't participated in the rally so far to decide, you know, we're going to jump in. There's also sort of the aspect that after being in a bull market, seeing stocks rise for the past more than 8 years at this point, you have people who are starting to get a bit nervous and saying, you know, if the growth in the U.S. economy starts slowing down, if we suddenly see commodity prices reverse course, if we see global economic outlook actually isn't as bright as it seems like it is right now, we could see a pretty severe reversal in the stock market, which we haven't seen in a long time. So all those things make it difficult, I think, and sort of point to the fact that it's not necessarily a fantastic thing for everybody that we've hit this milestone.
And if somebody's watching and saying, hey, the stock market's looking pretty good, is now the right time to jump in? But you're saying maybe not because the prices are up. I mean, what does the average investor do if they are looking to just maybe start out?
Well, I mean, you know, we can't give any investment advice, but what we hear from portfolio managers is that it's just it's a frustrating situation for people who aren't in the market, and whether they should get in or not. I mean, it's sort of a $1 million question when you think of it in terms of how long is this stock market rally going to last. I mean, we've hit 22,000 this year. The Dow just closed at another record today. And I think all three stock major stock indexes are on course for their best year since 2013 or so at this point. But you have a lot of signs that people are pointing to that suggest maybe it's time to be a little bit more cautious. Maybe these gains are going to be given up. But, you know, of course, nobody ever knows when exactly that point will come. So it's definitely a difficult situation to be in if you're not in the market.
I want to run a comment on Facebook by you here. Jonathan on Facebook said, the Fed created hundreds of billions of new money through two rounds of quantitative easing. That money did not trickle down to Main Street, he says, where it would cause major inflation and consumer prices, but it had to go somewhere. If it went to the finance sector and the mega wealthy investors, bam, he says, huge inflation in the stock indices. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that is one of the concerns that some people are pointing to. What is going to happen when not just the Fed, but central banks around the world move away from what's been an unprecedented level of accommodative monetary policy, when they sort of move away and start raising rates again and stop some of their asset purchases, are we going to continue seeing the stock market rise, and are corporations going to be able to, I guess survive the subsequent tightening of financial conditions? So that is definitely a risk factor that some people are beginning to cite. We see the Fed moving toward more rate increases.
We're talking right now with Wall Street Journal reporter Akani Otani about the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossing 22,000 for the first time, talking about what that means for the economy.
And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. What do you think is driving the success of the market right now? If you've got money invested, how are you feeling about the record high? And if you don't have money invested, are you worried that you're missing out? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking right now with Wall Street Journal reporter Akani Otani about the Dow Jones Industrial Average hitting another all-time high yesterday and what it means for the economy and maybe for you.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you think markets will continue to rise, or are we bound to fall back soon? And who do you think deserves credit for a strong market? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's take a first caller now. We have Charlie on the line with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I was going to comment more about the stock market and how it affects individual states, such as like Illinois and Wisconsin. A lot of the state workers, our public service unions, have money invested in the stock market through their pensions and retirement funds. So the question would be, what would happen to states who are already burdened by a lot of debt and other financial requirements? What would happen if the stock market went down? And isn't this kind of saving them right now from other problems? Thanks so much.
Charlie, thank you. Akani, what do you say?
Yeah, we've certainly written in the last year or so about the difficulty that a lot of states have been facing with pension funds, and you've seen in the last year or so some of these pension funds actually reaching further into what many people consider to be riskier investments just to sort of keep up with the overall market. So that definitely is something that is a point of concern for some portfolio advisors. You know, what's going to happen to those pension funds if we suddenly see a pullback? You know, right now, just because the stock market is trading at all-time highs doesn't necessarily mean we'll end the year there. In fact, a lot of analysts are saying we're already, in terms of the S&P 500, roughly where a lot of them expect to end the year. So it's definitely a risky point that people are watching out for right now.
You were talking a little earlier about expansion, and one thing economists don't agree on is, you know, can the economy keep expanding forever? It seems like the answer would be no, but what is it reasonable to expect in a position like we are right now?
Yeah, so right now we are in a state that some economists would say would be late in the cycle. The U.S. was sort of considered to be leading growth and recovery in the years after the financial crisis. But in the last year or so, we've seen places like Europe, China, India posting more growth. corporate profits picking up, various measures of activity in sectors like manufacturing picking up as well, and meanwhile, sort of more lukewarm measures of economic activity in the U.S. And so that might suggest to some people that because we got a little bit of a head start, so to speak, our economic expansion would be due for contraction sooner. Of course, there's a saying, you know, that bull markets don't die of old age. So just because the U.S. is the economy has been expanding for the last several years doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to fall into recession tomorrow. But it just ends up being that the longer the stock market keeps rising, the longer we're in a state of economic expansion, the more nervous more people start getting about when we're going to see a turnaround.
Take one more quick call from Dan in La Crosse. Dan, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, okay. My comment today would be is that I think sometimes journalists and people who discuss financial information look at investing as being a binary event. I was a broker for 35 years. I was an options principal. And I would tell most people that investing over is essentially a lifetime event. It's incremental. It is month by month by way of a 401k. And I can show you a lot of data where if you were to buy into your 401k at the high of every month that you bought for the last 30 years, you would still have a considerable amount of wealth, certainly much more money than you ever put in. And I think talking about a Dow at 22,000, I think I really would really take, for most individuals, I'll really take a more Warren Buffett approach on this as far as investing goes, in that I would look at it as something you really don't pay that much attention to the market. You basically make your investments on an incremental base, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. And by doing that, not worrying about the market, when to get in, when to get out, you're going to have a nice net worth. And I oftentimes tell people, if you're in good high-quality funds, ETFs, you really don't need to see what the performance is. You go over the long haul historically.
And we got to leave it there, Dan. We're out of time. Dan got the last word. Connie, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Connie Otani, reporter for The Wall Street Journal in New York, where she covers the U.S. stock market and investing. She's with us there to talk about the Dow hitting a new high and looking at what that might have to say about where the American economy is today.